it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
The Astro reactions are really interesting to me. I want them to make the postseason. Obviously, I'm an Astros fan. But the chatter around the team will be incredibly intriguing if they don't. I guess I'm just a fan. This is a text. I'm not going to trash Espada until the Astros are done. Okay, well, that's good for you. And we're not trashing him. We're just, I think, just proposing scenarios given the history with Jim Crane. He's let people go for less than missing the playoffs. He let James Click go after winning a World Series. You can't do much better. Maybe if they had swept the World Series, you know, instead of winning in six.
Yeah, I don't know. On the spectrum of trashing things, I feel like it's if we got to a point where when we just point out basic things like actual facts about the situation, people interpret it as like, I can't believe you're trashing the team. Well, what'd you do? Well, I pointed out that they were that they're 25th in scoring runs on the season, that they've got the worst judgment at the plate. Like, these are facts.
Right.
Second worst judgment at the plate.
Right. No, there are people getting angry with us saying we're trashing, except for the one guy who thinks we're reaching too hard on the
Somehow
Astros.
Reaching too hard and that you're decent at best. I don't know what. I can't please everybody all the time.
I guess not.
I guess, yeah.
All right, let's do.
It's like old Abe told us.
That's right. Let's do Five Reasons I Hate You, Tampa Bay edition. We do this every Friday before a Texans game. On Monday, you guys know normally 2 hours on Monday during football season. Excited to say that this Monday, since the game is on Monday night, we will be doing, Seth and I will be with you all 4 hours on Monday. The 8 to 10 a.m. hours, we will be joined by Mark Vandermeer for one of the hours and John Harris for the other hour. So we'll be Texans heavy in those 2 hours that are normally Texans radio. And Andre Ware and Andy Kalu are going to stop by. So it'll be fun. It'll be an intensive preview of the Buccaneers and the Texans. But Five Reasons I Hate You remains a Friday staple. So let's get to it. Number five, reasons to hate the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Hassan Reddick is on this team, and Hassan Reddick is a flake. Hassan Reddick, if you recall, Hassan Reddick started his career in Arizona. It was a first-round pick of the Arizona Cardinals. Took him a while to develop, but in his final year there, he had 12 and a half sacks. He hit free agency, and the deal that he ended up signing on off of a 12-and-a-half sack season was a one-year deal with his former college coach, Matt Rhule. Mm-hmm. Hassan Reddick went to Temple when Matt Rhule was the coach at Temple. Signed him there, had 11 sacks again. Signs a three-year deal with the Eagles, has 16 sacks, and is an all-pro in 2022, the year the Eagles made the Super Bowl and lost to the Chiefs. The next year, he was a Pro Bowler again with 11 sacks. And then that offseason, he wanted a new contract. And the Eagles didn't want to give him one. They gave him permission to seek a trade. He found a trade with the Jets. The Jets traded a third-round pick to the Eagles for Hassan Reddick. Maybe some of this is on the Jets, too. Knowing full well Hassan Reddick wanted a new contract,
the Jets
traded a third-round pick and then promptly did not give him a new contract. So he then requested a trade from the Jets, a team he had yet to play a snap for, in August of that year.
Right. Ends up playing 10 games for the Jets.
Yeah.
Had
one sack last year. One sack in 10 games.
Look, sacks don't tell the whole story, but they tell a big part of the story.
That's
not the production you're looking for.
Yeah.
I fear now he's dealing with a foot injury. He had a sack last week, but I fear that he might be going the Le'Veon Bell route here, where when you're a guy that really makes a huge commotion about holdouts and getting traded and controlling your own fate and whatever, sometimes it spells doom for the rest of your career.
You're going to be a one-year guy everywhere. Like, no one's going to want to sign up for multiple years with you. And he's on a decent contract with Tampa. I think he's making $10-12 million for a year, which is good money considering you were horrible for the Jets and kind of a distraction the year before. But that's reason number five, Seth. Hassan Reddick, flake. Reason number four, let's be real about this. Just in general, if we take a step back, You guys know Florida Man, many of you out there, the Twitter account Florida Man, which is really just a bunch of stories of meth heads from Florida doing weird things.
Yeah, it's guys, weird stories about Florida's got a lot of weird people in it. It's kind of it's the West Coast of the East, which is that all the weirdos either, the really ambitious weirdos just seem to move westward and then they get stopped by the Pacific Ocean. With Florida, it's like the weirdos who don't even have the ambition to follow the manifest destiny of heading westward. Go west, young man. They're like, I'm not going to stick around in Florida. I'll just go to Florida, okay? That's a long ways out there to California. So the less ambitious weirdos end up in Florida. And then they have children.
Yeah.
Sometimes many, many children.
Yes.
And it's created a weird environment in Florida.
So if Florida Man had an NFL franchise, it would be the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Weird uniforms from throughout their history. Weird uniforms, a chaotic history, players that make headlines for the wrong reasons, a pirate ship in the stadium that shoots cannons at various times.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of an acid trip, that stadium. If you've ever been there, I know you've probably played there before, Seth.
No, I never played in that stadium.
Really? No. Okay, yeah, that's true. You played for two AFC teams, so yeah, maybe not. Amy and I went there 2 years ago for our bye week trip. Uh-huh. It is a strange stadium. We had a good time, but it's peak Florida. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers are Florida in a
there's
microcosm.
There's nothing more peak Florida than being, people say that it's South Florida, and then when you look at a map, you're like, that's smack dab in the center of Florida.
Like west coast.
In terms of latitude.
Yeah, latitude. Yeah.
The University of South Florida is right there at the midpoint of Florida.
Yep.
Which I feel like is an aspirational thing or something. Like, hey, we're South Florida. We're where the... Yeah, no, hey, look, we can import cocaine as well. We can do all those things. We can drive Ferraris when we don't actually have the money to do it.
I like it. Yeah, I like it. All right, number three. They won a championship recently, back in 2020. But if we're going to sit here and call the Dodgers title a COVID title, if we're going to call the Lakers title a COVID title, we've got to call the Tampa Bay Buccaneers title a COVID title. They won a phony
really count.
Championship.
Yeah. There wasn't even there were barely any human beings there to actually witness it, you know, and to sign off on it. I'm not convinced it actually happened.
Might not have even happened. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, a bunch of placards you impressed there at the stadium that day. Cool.
The only good thing to come out of that Tampa Bay championship, we got to see what bleep-faced Tom Brady looks like. We don't see that often. Yeah.
Yeah. The other thing, though, too, and this is there, I don't think, listen, everybody, just settle down for a second, because I'm about to mention a COVID thing, and people get all triggered for no reason whatsoever. Regardless of how you felt about COVID regulations, pro, anti, whatever, wherever you are, Florida was amongst the looser states in the union.
Yeah.
So I feel like the Bucks in operating in that environment, whether you were for or against that environment, I feel when it comes to compared to other NFL franchises, the Bucs had it a lot easier.
Yeah.
Remember Tom Brady wandering around into random people's homes when the NFL was supposed to be on lockdown so he could work out with, who was it? It was one of the coaches. I can't remember who it was.
I forget who it was.
No, it was what's his name? The quarterback from the Jaguars.
Byron Leftwich.
Byron Leftwich.
Yeah, there you go.
Good job, man. Remember, he was supposed to go to Byron Leftwich's home, but he showed up and walked into somebody else's.
Can you imagine?
He pulled a breaking and entering onto somebody's residence.
Yeah. This COVID title was a big deal. There was a lot of extra ripple effect from that damn COVID title. B&E. Yeah.
So because they got to operate in a looser environment, they had an unfair advantage in that season. So, I put an asterisk on that championship.
Sometimes when it's hard to find real football reasons, I didn't even include Baker Mayfield in five reasons I hate you because I don't hate Baker Mayfield anymore. I actually like Baker Mayfield now.
Well, he says Gardner Minshew was the ultimate Florida man type of quarterback. When he was in Jacksonville, that just felt like, oh, yeah. Dude with weird facial hair and jorts. Yeah, that's Florida guy. Yeah, yep. Baker Mayfield feels a little bit like he could have been born and raised in Florida.
He does. I'd be inauthentic if I said that I hated Baker Mayfield.
it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
So when I have a tough time finding guys to hate on a team, I don't hate Mike Evans. When I have a tough time finding guys to hate, I will go to the tried and true, what is a stupid law that this town or state has? Number two, Tampa Bay or Tampa has a law called the cottage cheese rule where it's technically illegal to eat cottage cheese after 6 p.m. on a Sunday. Why does this rule exist? According to AI, maintaining peace. Some believe the law was enacted to help maintain peace and quiet on Sunday evenings. Also, others joke it was due to a conflict between cottage cheese enthusiasts and the city council's preferred snack food lobby. As far as enforcement of this arcane law, it is highly unlikely that law enforcement in Tampa actively patrol for late night dairy consumption. The law is considered strange and outdated.
It was also, there is something to do with about either rationing during World Wars One and Two.
That
or
makes
whatever.
More sense. Yeah,
that makes more sense. It's still it's is that any day of the week or just on
just Sunday? Just Sunday, 6 p.m. on Sunday. It's a blue law. Basically.
So it's a blue law of some sort. Yeah. What the hell?
Yeah. It's reason number two.
That's one of the weird laws I've heard. Yeah.
Reason number two.
Sean, you can't have the kids out there eating cottage cheese wantonly on a Sunday,
dude.
Do we have no rules? Do we have no dignity anymore? You want kids to be out there riding around town, wooing women with cottage cheese promises?
Ne'er-do-wells. Yes.
Yeah.
Do you like cottage cheese?
I do, but I gotta kind of. I find it gross.
Yeah.
But I still enjoy it. Okay. I have to not think about it.
Yeah.
It's one of those things like I enjoy it if I don't think about
it. It's good for you, right?
Like it's really, most dairy products in general. Every now and then, and you gotta remember, I grew up in a dairy farming family.
Yeah. It's
true. There's still a moment every now and then where like I'm eating cow juice here. This is where I'm eating something. I'm drinking or eating something that was just squeezed out of a mammal.
Yeah.
And it's just that part of it weirds me out a little bit, even though I eat a lot of dairy products.
You ain't saying that while you're eating those 13 ice cream sandwiches in the press box, I tell you.
I know. That's what you need to remind me of.
Oh, okay.
The next time you catch me eating all those cottage cheese sandwiches. No, Sean, I had a cheese sandwich just last night. You know, I mean, it's every now and then it's a comfort food that you forgot about.
Yeah.
And I was kind of, our pantry is a little bit bare. Because I told my wife I was going to do the shopping like 7 days ago. But I was hungry and I was like, oh, I've got bread, I've got mayonnaise, and I've got a block of cheddar cheese.
Beautiful.
Oh my God.
I can
it
eat
was so good.
Yeah. I could eat
and
that.
And the third one was just as good as the first.
I knew it. I knew it. That was my next question, the over under.
Yeah. Now, if you, Seth, when are you going to go on that shopping trip? Probably sometime around the next time I poop 7 days from now. Yeah. After three, it wasn't just, I used that whole block of cheese for those three sandwiches.
Yeah, yeah. All right, number one reason to hate Tampa Bay, I think we can all get in unison on this one. Warren Sapp is a hero of their franchise. He's a Hall of Famer, he's in their Ring of Honor, and he is a jackass. He's a jerk.
Yeah, he's just a jerk. People in Tampa didn't like Warren. If there's one thing, if anybody from Tampa were to be listening to this segment and they were getting all agitated about it, by the time we get to Warren Sapp, they're like, yeah.
I get it.
I get it. Okay,
there's a reason
cool.
He's number one, right?
I get it, yeah.
There's a reason he's number one.
The best Warren Sapp story was when he had to declare bankruptcy, which whatever, that happens. But he claimed that he had lost his Super Bowl ring because he didn't want to have to put that in the assets that he might have to auction off. Which, I get if maybe you lied about that one a little bit. I would understand why somebody would do that. But then, like, 3 years later, he shows up at a celebration for the Bucks Super Bowl team wearing the Super Bowl ring. Yeah.
You got to be respectful of your lie, man. You can't just flout it.
And let's remember, when he got into a situation that got him fired from NFL Network, where it was with a couple of ladies of the night, had some kind of they had allegations against him, and it was about him not paying the bill.
Didn't want to pay.
That was his allegation, was that it's all these things where you're like, oh, this guy's not a good dude,
not
man.
Not a good guy, man. Not a good guy. So Warren Sapp, number one reason to hate the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Now you're reminding me of Antonio Brown. He was a Tampa Bay Buccaneer. There's another one. You know what? We'll put Warren Sapp and Antonio Brown collectively at number one. Two former Buccaneers who are very easy to dislike. All right, I'm really surprised at some of the questions that D'Amico Ryans and C.J. Stroud were getting yesterday about the feel of the team and is everybody still on board and together and are you hearing the noise? It's 1 week, everybody.
It's 1 week. Not to mention, I've got an issue with Texans fans right now.
Okay,
too, I need to get this off my chest.
Okay, yeah. Good. This will probably be some fuel for you to do that coming up in the next segment. So we'll do that.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.